Hello, everybody. I'm glad you're here this afternoon. This is an exercise in staying awake after lunch. No siesta. Before we get started into the meeting, I think, something special for you. Brother Bob, I've met here on the campground since I arrived, and it seems like we've known each other for 30 years. Already, and he's going to play and sing for us. He's going to play on a dulcimer. How many of you know what that is? And it's an instrument that was back in my family where they lived in East Tennessee in the mountains, and he's going to sing for us a song here from this dulcimer, which is an ancient instrument that came to the Appalachian Hills many years ago. Brother Bob.
Thank you.
Oh, also, Brother Bob, tell him about your guitar pick. He's got a good use for something.
Credit card. First of all, they're free. They send me three or four every week in the mail wanting me to use them. Second of all, the only moral thing a Christian can do with one of these is make picks out of it or scrape frost off your windshield. My Savior says to me, if I follow him, accept him, follow him, and am true to the end, I will have everything. Amen. Satan says, don't wait for him. Get one of these. So, this is the only thing a Christian, I feel, can do with a credit card. Make picks and scrape ice.
We're going to talk about shunning debt as part of the preparation for end time events, so I thought you'd like to hear that. What Bob does with credit cards, he makes a dulcimer pick out of it.
Incidentally, every time I play, I do this. All the ladies know that there's oil collects right in here, if you're worried about complexity. I need oil on my finger to slide on the strings. So I just put oil on my finger here.
Thank you very much, Brother Bob. I appreciate that. It made me feel some things I hadn't felt in a long time, including the Irish jig. Nobody here knows anything about that, but just a couple little items of business. If you're thinking about moving to the country, might want to pick up a copy of our book. It covers the spirituality of doing it, and it also covers the practicality of doing it, even how to run a crosscut saw, Kester. It's in here. And Garden to Kitchen Cookbook, ladies, that you can have. And young people or those who are parents of young people, this is Christian courtship in story form. Brother Cheever, glad you're here. We've also got some, where did they go, Stan? The CDs and stuff. There are some DVDs of the seminars that we do in churches. And we've got MP3s. We sold some of them, did we? Okay. An MP3, I don't even know what that is, except it's a different format. It's some kind of a different player. And it's got the same series in audio on MP3. And then there's one here on how to start your own ministry. And you might enjoy getting that. They'll be back on the table after. Then we have a family camp up our place. We study coming events morning and evening. And during the day, we do practical classes like soap making and cabin building and how to run a wood cook stove and do your own laundry and all kinds of things. The main thing is that these skills are being lost all over the time, and we're facing a time, brothers and sisters. Scott, I need the chart. Is it still on that stand out there? There's a coming a time, brothers and sisters, when we won't be able to buy and sell, so we can't have a chainsaw. So we're going to have to learn how to sharpen and operate wood so that we can cut it. Is that right, sir? Yes. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to try to make an awful strong case. And I've got some pretty music here made by some pretty people. Well, at least one. How'd you know I didn't mean you? They've got a CD, and I really like their music. That's why I like them to travel with me. We came through East here, and they went down with us all the way to Montgomery, Alabama for a seminar down there, and we've been all over West Virginia, up to Needmore, Pennsylvania, and they have been a blessing in all of that. Today I want to get into the National Sunday Law with you. Scott, I also found my pointer. Well, how about, isn't that good? I'm losing this sometimer's disease, starting to find in things. The Sunday Law, as you know, is just around the corner. There are not very many people in general public that believes that we'll ever have a law restricting religious practice in the United States or Canada, for that matter, in the rest of the world. It's not. We've got a huge hedge in the Bill of Rights and the Constitution that says that we shall not make any laws that pertain to religion. And they said, I've had people say, well, it could never happen. Well, it's too late. We already have two incidents in history on this continent where it already has happened. The first one was in the 13 colonies. You were required to go to church on Sunday. Did you know that? By a group of people who were fleeing religious persecution in Europe. We need to learn lessons that was taught to us by, who started Rhode Island? Roger Williams taught us that everybody should have freedom of conscience in regard to religion. The second time it happened was in the late 1890s, or the middle 1890s. There were 125 Seventh-day Adventists in jail as a result of violation of Sunday worship laws. And Elder Andrews went to the U.S. Congress to appeal the Blair bill. And there were Adventists in jail over this, so we know that it can happen. It already has happened. It is prophesied it will happen, and I want to go through that with you today. And then we're going to look here on the screens. Oh, there's one back there too. Even I can see it. We're going to go through the evidence that's prophesied. And like somebody said in our meetings here, you can't wait till it happens to get ready for it. Is that right? We got to get ready today, and so it's an act of faith. We call it righteousness by faith. And if you think preparation for Sunday law is not righteousness by faith, think again, because we're taking a step forward by faith to get ready for it, and we need to do that. If you open your Bibles, please, to Revelation chapter 13. And I was tempted to ask you some questions on Revelation 13, but I'm not going to do it because we don't have enough time. We don't want to interfere with the next program. Revelation 13, I want to look at verses 15 to 17 and ask you one question. The second word in this verse in the King James Version is he. He had power to give life unto the image to the beast. Who is that? Trace the pronoun back through the verses until you can tell me who it is. It's Satan indirectly. He's behind all of this, right? The beast is his masterpiece. The image to the beast is his masterpiece. But who is he in verse 15? It's the United States, yes. Go back up to 11, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And who is that? That's the United States of America. And it goes on down, and he doeth great wonders, and he deceives them, and he gave power to the image to the beast. Who is the image to the beast? Now, this is a Seventh-day Adventist audience, right? You all know these things. Who's the image to the beast? Who is it? Very interesting. The image to the beast? Apostate Protestantism. And it's hooked up with what power? Who did you say he was? United States, and when they get together, we call it Union of Church and State, right? It's right there in verse 15. And he gave power to the image to the beast. So we have political power, huge political power, maybe the greatest power that has ever existed in this world's history in the United States. Do you know the atomic arsenal is enough to destroy this earth 30 times? That's why all of these people with million and million and a half army, man armies, are not messing with us. You understand what I'm saying? They know that they could get vaporized at the press of a button. So here we are, all-powerful nation, united with the image to the beast. Now, if we say image to the beast, what are we really saying? We're talking about worship, okay. But if it's an image to the beast, what do we say? It looks like the beast. And you can go back in front of this chapter and trace down the beast, and he came up out of the sea, which represents peoples and so forth. I'd love to go over and study this with you. It's very familiar for me, but... And so in the United States, it's the image to the beast that unites with this tremendous political power in the United States. And here's what's going to happen. Notice verse 15. And the image to be, after he gives power to the image of the beast, which is apostate Protestantism, which means that they are following very closely to the beast and its guidelines. Notice that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image to the beast should be killed. Okay, what are they resorting to in preference for this? Resorting to power, right? They're going to force you to worship the way that they say to worship because there's no scriptural authority. All the way through all of these denominations, you can't find an honest piece of theological evidence for the support of Sunday. And the Catholic Church comes in and they say, guess what?
We changed it,
Brother Cheever. We changed it, and you're following us, and we're delighted. Now let's get together. Is that right? Do you all agree with that? Is that about the way it is? Okay. Now they're going to enforce it to the point where there's going to be a death decree if you don't obey, right from the Bible. Verse 16, and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Another aspect of this is that we won't be able to buy and sell. And then we're going to be threatened with death unless we compromise. If you're in the 25th floor in Charleston and you got hit with this material, would you be more or less apt to compromise your faith than if you lived in a farm?
Unless you're very well founded, you give in.
You're right, sir. Absolutely right. And so that sets the stage for us to have some preparations. We need to be prepared, as Matthew 24 says. Now this mark, I just want to talk about that just for a minute. This mark, you'll receive the mark if you worship like they do. By the way, what's the issue here in Revelation 13? Well, the issue is worship. Look at verse 4, two times. You can worship the dragon if you want and go to spiritualism, or you can worship the beast and go religious. It identifies the beast here through this fulfillment of 40 and 2 months, 1260-year prophecy. Identifies who that beast is, which is the papal authority. Verse 8, look, it says worship again. And in verse 12, worship. And what does God want from us? He wants worship. Look at that in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 7. And worship him that made heaven and earth. So here the devil comes in and he's trying to take worship away from God to a political religio power that has no basis in scripture, and the only point that they can make is that it's the law that you go to church the way we say and worship the way we say. It's just that simple and that complex. But God, as usual, has a plan for us as a people. If we will follow it, we will not be victims. We will be blessed because our heart is right with God and with each other. And we are now training our hands to be provisional for our family, to provide things at His blessing. We can't have the blessing of God on our crops. We're going to study that a little later in the week. Actually, it is getting later in the week, isn't it? We're going to study that in detail on Friday. We'll have another PowerPoint program here on how God blesses our efforts because our heart's right, and He can actually supply all of our needs. The land will provide for all our necessities. But we got to have our heart right. Brother Cheever.
I've always had a plan.
Well, we'll take that up on Sunday. We've got some great material, and there's a section in our book entitled How to Grow Seed and How to Collect It and How to Store It. All of the vegetables that we need. Friday, thank you, Chuck. I appreciate that. We're going to talk about it Friday, and it's going to be on the screen. You'll want to be here, so bring your sleeping bag and stay right there. Keep your sleeping bag right there. And no, you can't do that.
It's okay. I'll take the information.
Okay.
I've already made the arrangements for
her. Okay. So the issue is worship. Now, how important it is, I want you to see that in Revelation chapter 15, verse 2. How important is it that we relate to these materials? It's vitally important. Notice what it says in Revelation 15, verse 2. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass. Where is that? That's in heaven. Mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over what? And what? And over what? And over what? And where are they going to stand? Well, what if they don't get the victory? Where are they going to stand? This is not just a matter of life and death, brothers and sisters. This is a matter of eternal, forever, no reversal decisions. The Bible says that. Well, let's go on. Let's hear how the spirit of prophecy makes this absolutely graphic. We mentioned earlier in the week that the most important time in all of these events on this chart is today. Do you remember that? Why is that important?
Preparations.
We need to be ready. And if we're not ready, it's not going to matter much what's on this chart or the events that are going to happen. We got to get ready. Or if we can't get ready, be with a team who can get ready, and we can help each other. Nobody gets left behind in this program because we're going straight ahead to the kingdom. Early Writings, page 67. Here's one thing that we can do today, but there's many others, and that is to get ready for this where we can raise our own provisions. And I'll read that tomorrow at this time. We're studying no buy, no sell. And that'll have the total impact for you of what we're going to be facing. Those who would not, this early writing, 67. Those who would not receive the mark of the beast and his image when the decree goes forth must have decision when? Now. To say, nay, we will not regard the institution of the beast. And what's the institution of the beast?
Sunday
worship. That's exactly right. So we can, as it were, have a practice session. I don't like rehearsal, Chuck. It puts too much drama in it. But we can have a practice session by making a decision now by God's grace. By God's grace, me and my family are going to be ready, and we're going to say yes to what? The seal of God, which is Sabbath. And it's not going to just be a matter of keeping it. It's going to be a matter of loving it, or we're going to give it up. There's going to be that much pressure. Do you look forward to the Sabbath? Are you ready for the Sabbath? Do you start on Sunday to get ready for the Sabbath? Do you anticipate it? Do you love it because Jesus loves it? And that's the only way we're going to hang on to it. You know, the saddest words I think I hear among Adventist people is, When is sundown? You know what that indicates? I got things to do. We're going to have to love it, brothers and sisters. You're going to have to love it like I loved Uncle John when he came to visit me when I was getting beat up most every day. And you are too. This old world wasn't even designed, as the devil gets his hand on it, to treat us kindly, gently. We're swimming upstream and climbing heavy hills of obstacles and withstanding pressures of family loss and sorrow and pain and crying and tears. We're all in abuse, every last one of us. So we need to make a decision today. Now, how's all this going to get started? I want to read this first, and then we're going to do the PowerPoint program to show you how some of this, if not all of it, is being fulfilled in our very eyes and ears. Great Controversy, page 589 and over on to 590, majority on 590. In accidents and calamities. Now let these incidents soak in, because we're going to see pictures of them. In accidents and calamities by sea and land. Can you think of any accidents or calamities? The oil spill. Calamities. Flooding. Mudslides. How about a great conflagration? What's that? Fires that are out of control, and you just have to let them burn out because they drop water on them, and the water bombers, the water evaporates before it hits the ground. It's so hot. Fierce tornadoes. Any tornadoes in the southeast? Terrific hail storms. You know, hail that will dent a car or your skull if it hits. Tempests, floods, cyclones, tidal waves, and earthquakes. In every place and in 1,000 forms, Satan is exercising his power. Who's doing it? Let's get it straight right now, brothers and sisters. These are not acts of God, as the insurance companies would have us to believe. Satan has a two-phase program, and the first phase, we're well into it, and that is calamities. Let me show you something, if I can find it here quickly. It's a graph. You might not be able to see it too well, but you can see the left-hand green part here. That's recent incidences of earthquakes. And this is what's happened up to now. These things are to be more and more frequent and disastrous, it says here. Look at this. Look at what's happening in the last days. The graphs. Yeah, this is incidences of those. And now, since the year 2000 particularly, but about 1995, it's just gone up exponentially. That is, we used to be able to draw a straight line for a graph. Now it is a curve like this. And it's just escalating right off of the chart. A fulfillment of the times in which we live, if we ever have one. It says here, these visitations are to become more and more frequent. That is, closer together and more disastrous. Intensity goes up. More of them, more intense. Each one sets a new record. The oil spill set a new what? It exceeded the Exxon Valdez spill in Alaska. Some people say many times over. Do they have it shut off now, or does anybody know? Okay, that's phase one. The devil gets into these storms, oddball weather, all kinds of things, and to have these hailstorms, tempests, floods, cyclones, tidal waves, and earthquakes, he gets involved in all of this. And then we go into phase two. Now you tell me if we're in phase two or not. The great deceiver will then persuade men that those who serve God are causing these evils. Texas state legislator being interviewed on Bill O'Reilly, Fox News. Mr. Legislator, why are we having all of these hurricanes and all this trouble in the Gulf? Answer. Because we're desecrating Sunday. National news. Presbyterian minister in Scotland was asked the question, why did that tsunami, that 40-foot wave of water come ashore? We're going to see some pictures of it in a minute. 40-foot wave of water come ashore on Indonesia. Well, he said the people down there, they're mostly Islamic, and they desecrate Sunday. That's why they got hit. You see, the blame game is already starting. We're entering phase two. Now, this is not to scare us into getting ready, but to let us know that Jesus is coming soon, and we need the relationship with him, not the fear of him. The devil's doing all this mess, and he started the blame game. Tell me, how long would it be for the authorities to find a group of people who desecrate Sunday every week, numbering, say, 15 million? How long would it take for them to find out about these people? We need to get ready. The angel said, get ready, get ready, get ready. Because Jesus is coming, and we need to be watching the driveway for the next car that might hold him to rescue us from this abuse through a love relationship, through a relationship with Uncle John that I had with him. I watched every car come to the driveway. And if he said he was going to be delayed, you think I lost interest? Oh, no. Because of my relationship with him, I kept looking. I kept watching. Please, please come. And I did everything I could to get ready. The great deceiver will persuade men that those who serve God are causing these evils. The class that have provoked the displeasure of heaven will charge all of their troubles. How many troubles? Economic? Political? Right now we've got a lot of convenient people to blame. But hang on to your hat, because the blame is going to shift. And it's going to be placed on Seventh-day Adventist, Sabbath-keeping Christians the world around. That those who serve God are causing these evils. The class that have provoked the displeasure of heaven, that is the true situation, will charge all their troubles upon those whose obedience to God's commandments is a perpetual, that is a constant, reproof to transgressors. It will be declared, that is, voiced and expressed as the truth. It will be declared that men are offending God by violation of the Sunday Sabbath, and that this sin has brought calamities which will not cease until Sunday observance shall be strictly enforced. Right here. So how will it come in? The devil sets up his program and he influences people in leadership to say, look, we're not in step with God. There's a whole bunch of people in this world desecrating Sunday. Well, let's show them from the Bible. No, we can't do that. So the next resort is what? Legislation. And it will become by popular demand, and the legislators will respond to it. And we need to be ready, not to be getting ready, brothers and sisters. We need to what? Be ready. I'm going to fly out of here and go back to Canada. But I'm really leaving part of my heart here. Because I'm just afraid that I'm just an entertainer. That I am attracting an interest for some other reason. I want us to act on this. And the Lord wants us to act on this. We've got to act on this. Or we're going to be making a lot more caskets as this time of trouble comes upon us. We must be ready. It will be declared that men are offending God by violation of the Sunday Sabbath, and that this sin has brought calamities which will not cease until Sunday observance shall be strictly enforced. And those who present the claims of the fourth commandment, what's the fourth commandment? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. And the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Those who present the claims of this fourth commandment, thus destroying reverence for Sunday, are troublers of the people. You see the shift of blame? All of their troubles are going to shift from the focus today to us. Are we ready to take the blame? Are we ready to stand up with the three S's? State of the dead, the Sabbath, and the second coming, and show them from Scripture that any Marian apparition, that is, Mary showing up, or statues bleeding, or crying, or a new Messiah has appeared in Atlantic City, or some other place. Are we ready to take those three S's and witness to these people as though we were saving their lives and not ours? We've got to save their lives. We don't need a committee meeting, brothers and sisters. If somebody's floating down a flooding river out, what's the name of this river out here? Somewhere. What is it? Okay, it's a creek. Somebody's floating down that creek and they say, help me, help me. Wait a minute, I'll have a committee meeting. You reach in there and you grab them and you haul them out. And that's what we're facing. We have not lose anybody. There are troublers of the people. The blame is going to shift. Our best position is to not blame anybody right now. We'll be in a better position if they don't know that we're blaming anybody. We'll be in a better position to accept the blame and witness for the truth. Preventing their restoration to divine favor and temporal prosperity. Let me ask you something. If you are standing in the way of the restoration of temporal prosperity, what's happened to it? If you have to restore temporal prosperity, what condition is it in? It's a very poor economic picture that this restoration to temporal prosperity. Guess what we're in right now? Another indication through prophecy that we're near the end of time and they're going to do something to restore. We've been told that it's going to be years to recover from this last economic crash. Now we get dumped on us oil spills and all kinds of different things. It's going to cost more and more money. Brothers and sisters, the stage is set for it to close up. Nobody knows if it will or not. But it surely indicates something very important to us as Seventh-day Adventists. What is it? Get ready. Isn't that what it indicates? Now, lest you think the third angel's message doesn't relate to other things, righteousness by faith in verity is the third angel's message. And I'd like to take just a moment to get into that. You know, the beast says to worship. And he says, in order for you to worship correctly, you must come through me to get to God. And the Bible says, no man cometh to the Father but by me. Faith in the righteousness of Christ, or faith in the righteousness of the priest, worldly priest, intercessor to get to God. Now, do you see how we're getting closer to righteousness by faith? If we can come to God through Jesus, that's righteousness by faith, and that's our worship style. But if we go through the other way, it is righteousness by works and payment and penance and duty and price tags. And we'll set you free. Just pay the money. It is righteousness by faith and verity because the third angel's message calls for us to not to worship the beast. It's to worship the Lord Jesus. And if we do that, we do that by faith. And if we worship the beast, it is some other way, some other approach, a way in which the wolves come among the sheep. Another aspect of the third angel's message is that it relates to health. If there are catastrophes and all of these things, calamities are going to happen, will there be anybody out there hurt? Would we have then an avenue of witness if we were trained in health principles under the third angel's message? What do you think? Listen to this. For their own sake, that is, our sake. This is from Councils on Health, 506. For their own sake, they should, while they have opportunity, become intelligent in regard to disease, its causes, its prevention, and cure. And those who do this will find a field of labor anywhere. There will be suffering ones, plenty of them, who will need help, not only among those of our own faith, but largely among those who know not the truth. And this is set under religious aggression under the Sunday law. We can do just simple things like go to the hospital and take a first aid and CPR course. We can get health education, as Brother Chuck is talking to us about immediately following this meeting, to educate us in living a healthful life so that we can be a better witness. Spirit of Prophecy, Volume 2, page 44. The health reform finds its place in the preparatory work for the second appearing of Christ. You see, this is a package. This is not just one focused, narrow vision type of thing. It brings in everything. It brings in our spirituality. I'm going to have you take another brick out of your backpack now that you don't have to. You can file these kind of materials in 13. One time I got some material sent to me in the mail, and it showed two individuals that had in their forehead stamped 666. They had received the mark of the beast. Do you want to avoid receiving the mark of the beast as these people have? 666 stamped in their forehead. Literal. Any materials you get like that, you can file in file 13. 7 BC 980. And the issue of the great conflict between the two parties contest, two parties are developed. Those who worship the beast in his image, that's one group, and receive his mark, and those who receive the seal of the living God, who have their Father's name written in their foreheads. This is not a what? A visible mark. This is a decision. To not have it in our hands is a decision, because the heart or the mind, the center of the body and the hands are together, and the devil knows that, and that's why he wants to put a mark in both. Also relates the same thing in Signs of the Times, November 1, 1899. This is not a visible mark. It's a decision. And often you'll see materials in which people are going around with some kind of a mark in their forehead as having received the 666. And it's just foolishness. Finally, this, and we'll have our PowerPoint. Christ Object Lessons 227. The preaching of Christ's second coming. The announcement of its nearness. What's the adverb? Nearness. The announcement of its nearness is shown to be an essential part of the gospel message. We're looking forward to the coming of Jesus. We don't want to be involved in any kind of conspiracy theory, because God said he's going to take care of those things. What we want to be is a watchman on the wall of Zion that will take fulfilled prophecy and put it in our minds so that we can tell each other the Lord is coming soon. Anything outside of fulfilled prophecy is a conspiracy, conjecture, and guesswork at best. And if it is fulfilled, God promised to take care of it. But it doesn't relate to anything prophetically. And so this emphasis on focusing on our work. And what is our work? Well, let me read it to you, because it's very important. 2 SM 142. The work of the people of God is to prepare for the events of the future, which will soon come upon them with blinding force. That's our work. And it's in all aspects. In righteousness by faith, yes. In health, yes. In practical application, industrial training, yes. In vision and spiritual training, yes, yes, yes. It's a package. And we need to realize that. All right, do you think we need the lights out, Barry, to do the PowerPoint program? What do you think? Where is the thing? Just point it up there. This is a prophecy by Jesus, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. The same thing amplified in the spirit of prophecy, perfect agreement between the scripture and Jesus' prophecy and end time events. I'm showing you this reference again so you can see it on the screen, because I believe in eating watermelon twice. In accidents and calamities, by sea and land, in great conflagrations, fierce tornadoes, terrific hailstorms, tempests, floods, cyclones, tidal waves, and earthquakes. In every place, in West Virginia, in every place and in 1,000 forms, Satan is exercising his power. These visitations are to become more and more frequent and disastrous. We need to be ready. It's a safety issue. If we're on the 25th floor in Charleston, we need to make some arrangements to get out of these cities, because the judgments of God will fall upon them in their wickedness. And the reason it hasn't happened already is that we're not quite ready for it, and God in His mercy is holding off. Disasters. Well, here's forest fires you can't put out. They just keep burning until the weather changes. Can't do anything about it. First time in history that we've ever had fires. Firefighters, 30 years experience, we've never seen any fires like these in this last few years. And here's a picture of one that went through Texas and Oklahoma a few years back. Took out many different homes. And a couple of 100 people died. This statistic needs updated, but there are 1,000 tornadoes hit the United States, not counting ones in Canada. Average of 80 people. It's well over 1,000 now, and well over 150 people a year dying. It keeps going up. Tornadoes was one of the signs of the last days, and their incidence is increasing. This is what they do. Anybody here been in a tornado? Okay, they're pretty devastating, aren't you? You got to get to the root cellar. That's a good-sized tornado. Tore up a high school and killed a bunch of kids in Arkansas. Now that's a hailstone. And I can tell you that's bigger than a baseball. Ask me how I know. I used to play baseball. And that's, those hailstones fell. People went out and gathered them up and put them in their freezer so they could have evidence. These hailstones fell during a tornado, and it totaled automobiles. Well, you know what I mean by totaled? They couldn't fix them. The cost of fixing them is more than throwing them away. That's a terrific hailstorm. That's a fulfillment of prophecy that we are in these last days. The time is near when large cities will be swept away, and all should be warned of these coming judgments. Besides, it's a better way to live. Would you all agree? Amen. Being evangelism, page 29. There's a lot more on the destruction of the cities. This is in Indonesia. This is a little village. Notice trees, little streets. There are houses mixed in here. This was just before the tsunami. A 40-foot wall of water came ashore. They recovered cameras that took pictures of the tsunami before it hit. And from the pictures, they estimated a 40-foot wall of water came ashore. Now, get a good picture of this. You know, you see all of this here? The next picture. It's all gone. 40-foot wall of water comes in, and then what does it do? It goes back out. Takes everything away. Hundreds of people died, for a total of 250,000 in Indonesia. That's a fulfillment of prophecy. That's called a tidal wave. And it's mentioned right in the prophecy. Here's another one. A village much more densely populated. Keep your eye on this little bridge here in this area right about in here after this water came ashore. Took the bridge out. Again, hundreds of people, maybe a few thousand died because it took them all by surprise. You all know about this, don't you? It reminds you of the reference, doesn't it, that if God touches these buildings, they will burn like they're made out of pitch? Well, that's exactly what these nobody dreamed, even the Arab terrorists dreamed, that they would do such damage to those towers and have them just fall flat as a result of impact from full fuel tanks and jet airliners that they flew into that. The Twin Towers are no more. Catastrophes. Look at the expression on this man's face. How many of you have been in New York City? You know, it's just a series of streets, 50-story buildings, 80-story buildings. The sun only comes in there a few hours each day. And if that building collapsed like it did, those Twin Towers, it sets up a debris plume. You see it here? And what do you think he's thinking? I got to get out of here. My life is in danger. This man made it through. He used to have a good job. And all of a sudden, it was all over. Catastrophes by sea and land. A fulfillment of prophecy that we're nearing the end of time. Here we have volcanoes, both the pyroclastic kind, that is, that have lava flows, and those that just blow their top. And the incidence of volcano explosions, guess what that graph looks like? Well, let's take Iceland. The third one blew not too long ago, just before I came down here, threatening air traffic to London again. It melts ice packs, causes mudslides. Here's one in Iceland. It's coming right up through ice, causing mudslides. Also 10, 12, 14, up to 20 inches of rain in one 24-hour period will cause something that, and this is what happened in Japan after a 10-inch rain. Floods, cyclones, tidal waves, earthquakes. Truly, brothers and sisters, we can't say anything else except that we're living in the time of fulfilled prophecy. A typhoon is a hurricane in the southern hemisphere. It rotates opposite to the ones in the northern hemisphere. And they're just as devastating as hurricanes. And so when you read that word hurricane, you can use the word typhoon. A street terms for a hurricane is a cyclone. And look at the damage. Guess what the incidence of this is? Even the incidence of catastrophes is escalating. More and more frequent and disastrous is an indication of the times in which we're living. Earthquake in Pakistan killed 75,000 people. We hardly even heard about it, but it was in the news. Think about that many people. They build out of masonry, you know, bricks and adobe and blocks, and when it gets shaken with no rebar in it, it's coming down. All these houses are laying flat. Tragedy, sorrow, heartache. You know, the devil says, I have a better plan. And you know, all of us bought stock in it. It's time that we unload our stock in the devil's lies and to put stock in God's programs so that we can leave this abusive world and have a home, a genuine home, where there's no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain, and no more death. If heaven were a desert, I'd want to be there. If you give me no pain and no sorrow and no tears and no death. Isn't that the way you feel? But it's immensely beautiful, more than we can ask or think. But no more heartache. Think about that. Would you like that? Let's get ready. What do you think? Let's get ready to do just that. Sorrow. Look at this. The devil lied to us, didn't he? He lied bold-faced and told us he has a better plan than God has, and here's the way it ended up. And we invested heavily. Why? How could we be so? In German, the word is Dummkopf. In Spanish, it is stupido. No? Loco. This is New Orleans, Louisiana. Just after Hurricane Katrina, this is Interstate 10. That's the Superdome up in there somewhere. And New Orleans is a big bowl. It's 8 feet below sea level on the street level. If the levees are breached, guess what happens? The bowl fills up full of water to the depth of 8 feet. And in the next slide here, look, see where the water is. There's people being rescued off of there. There's three kinds of snakes in that water and gators. Copperheads, water moccasins, and rattlesnakes. And they had vicious encounters with people floundering around in the water. It attracted the gators. And the news quit reporting those incidents. It was terrible. Now look, 8 feet deep. How far is it to a soffit on a house? About 8 feet. People got trapped in the attics of their houses because they couldn't get out. Look, how would you get out if you were in the attic of that house? They died there. Families died in the attics of their houses because they couldn't get out. They could swim or something, but a lot of the folks couldn't swim. They were warned to get out of New Orleans, but you know, a family of 12 in a gremlin? Do you all remember the gremlin? The old cars? You can't get 12 people in there, so they all decided to stay. And here's what happened. And right behind Katrina came Rita, and it's headed. Houston is roughly in there. And there is New Orleans over in here somewhere. And notice this white area, that's heavy rain. 10 inches of rain or more. And there's the storm right there. And it's headed right this way. And the governor said, get out of Houston. And after Katrina, they said, we're going to do just that. Here's what happened. They made 5 miles in 8 hours. They ran out of fuel on the freeway. Buses caught fire with 24 oxygen patients on board. The bus caught fire from overheating. And they died right there beside the freeway. You know what oxygen does in the presence of fire? Or an oxygen bottle? Any nurses here? Okay, there's oxygen bottles will explode. Those who want to leave, well, here's, I think, that, and at night it didn't change any over there. They wanted to get out, but they couldn't. It was too late. Emphasizes a point, doesn't it? This is an earthquake in Haiti. We updated our PowerPoint program to show you some pictures from the news media on that. And how many thousand died there in Haiti? Do you remember? 250,000? Look at that building. This is in Chile. They'll be more and more frequent and what? Disastrous. A fulfillment of prophecy right in our ears. Brothers and sisters, it should awaken us to the need of a relationship with Jesus, and then in His grace pursue getting our hearts right with each other, right with God, and put our hands to work so we can help others. Because there's going to be people coming out at the 11th hour. Look at this over here on this chart. Here we are as Seventh-day Adventists faced with a Sunday law. We choose the seal of God, which is an eternal decision. And being sealed at this point, having made this decision, we will give the loud cry under the power of the latter rain to the rest of the world. And here comes somebody out of the city right here. Where is he going? Where is she going? Where is this family going that's coming out here at the 11th hour? Right where you are, already set up so you can help them. Is that right? That's right. And we have a chance now to pioneer, to get ready to help people. Train in our health missions. Train in our understanding of Scripture. Train in a vision. Train in gardening. Train in practical things. Understand the Bible and the spirit of prophecy, which marks this remnant church. We have much to do. We don't have time to chase the Illuminati or a Jesuit invasion. I'm going to let God take care of that. Great Controversy 5:28 tells us exactly that, that God will overrule all of these things to the accomplishment of His own design. In the meantime, Jerry, he says, focus on getting ready. I'm coming. Focus on that. Let me take care of this. Did you know I can do my work better than you can do it? He can. Praise God. Well, here's Chile. That really about abolished, you know, that's a really shake when it turns cars upside down. That's really some shake. Now the oil spill, there it is, spewing out. This was something we added just before we came down here to West Virginia. And you can see it coming out here. It's just, it'll be years cleaning this mess up. This is in Guatemala City. They had 20 inches of rain. And a sewer, 2-foot sewer line ruptured and spilled the city's sewage in an underground channel, and they had a sinkhole 330 feet deep in which 5 houses went down that hole. That really gets my attention. Reminds me of things that happened in Israel, where the ground opened up, you know, and because the people were not following what the Lord wanted them to do. Ere long, there will be such strife and confusion in the cities that those who wish to leave them will not be able. There is a deadline, that's true, because there's coming a time, brothers and sisters, if we want to leave the city, and we say a question like this, Jerry, why don't I wait until the Sunday law comes? And then I'll see that it's fulfilled prophecy, and then I'll get ready. But it's too late. You can't get ready for what's ahead of you here if you wait till then. Besides that, there's a more important question. Where is your heart? If you want to wait till the last minute and enjoy the venue of this world and wait till the last minute before you have to change, where's your heart? We need to get ready now because Jesus is coming. We need to start working. We need to be ready. We need to get our hearts ready. How many of you have taken time to meet with somebody else to make it right. Could I see you? Praise God. Continue the work during this camp meeting. It's important because it helps us get ready for this, and we can be right with each other and right with God right here in Mountain View Conference. What do you say? Amen. Arguing over the color of the rug is a thing of the past, isn't it? We've got big things to deal with. We must be preparing for this issue is the last part. Country Living, page 11. Ezekiel 38:7. You might want to mark it down. Old Testament, but it was never more prophetic and never more applicable than today. Notice what it says. It says, you can put your name in there. Be thou prepared. Prepare yourself. You know, like you're on an airline. Put the oxygen mask on yourself when? First, so you can help somebody else. If you drop off with no oxygen, how can you help somebody else? So get prepared yourself. Thou and all the company that are assembled unto thee. Family, extended family. It's like an Abraham situation. Be thou prepared. Prepare thyself, thou and all thy company, all the company that is assembled unto thee, and be thou a guard unto them. Take some responsibility of helping others. This Ezekiel verse is really sincerely inviting us to be ready. A storm is coming. Do you believe it? A storm is coming. We already saw several storms. A storm is coming. This time it's relentless. What kind of timetable is relentless on? Well, it's continuous, isn't it? It's continuous. Are we prepared to meet it? From volume 8, 315. We can be. God has a plan for us. And tomorrow at this time, invite everybody you can to come. Tomorrow at this time, we're going to talk about what God specifically wants us to do to meet this storm and to be ready. But we know we need to do so spiritually. So make it right with each other and right with God. Stan and Piper have some music for us at this time, a song about the Sabbath. I'd like for you to spend a little time listening to the words and meditating on them.
What is your favorite day of the week? The Sabbath, that's right. It is truly a gift of God. And I always remember that's God's time where He's calling us to come away, come out of the world, spend time with Him. Amen.
Sundown has come again. It's time to rest. The Lord has proclaimed this day to be the best. For the world was created within 6 days. God rested on the seventh, and to man He said, come unto me and leave this world behind. I know I can help you find peace of mind. Come unto me and I will show the way, and together my Sabbath day.
Evening shadows fall as the sun gently sets. We will ever treasure these moments we kept and live with a hope and long for the day when we'll see our Savior and we'll hear Him say,
Stan and Piper, for that. Thank you for your prayers for them. And I just pray that we'll each take the message that the Bible and the Spirit of Prophecy is trying to give us to awaken us to the times in which we're living. Bob, we need all the help we can get, right? Can we bow our heads for prayer, please? Heavenly Father, we are truly thankful for your great blessings to us. Thankful for the messages that you have sent to us years ago. We pray that you will empower us with your Holy Spirit in the relationship of Jesus through his shed blood. That we'll be right with each other and that we'll be right with God. In preparation, our God, our Father, that in this preparation that will involve our hands, we pray, Lord, that you will help us be by our side, be our companion. You wish to work with us in the woods and on the job and in the church and in our relationships and in our understandings and indeed even in our unity, that we may press together, press together, press together. Thank you for hearing our prayer. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray it, and we all said, amen. Amen.